A little bit related to that, I want to continue talking from our reading today. Anybody follow along in our reading? Genesis has a whole bunch of good stuff, doesn't it? it's a lot of good stories there to relate to. And so I want to talk about character today, though. It has to do with, there's a word we're going to talk about, faithfulness. And what is the main word in faithfulness? Faith. So it's really hard to have faith and not be faithful. And what is faithfulness? That's where you have something to do and you stay true to it. You keep doing it whether or not it feels right or not. You're faithful to it, right? And it actually requires some faith. So I'm going to look at draw some things out from this the reading we had today about the experience we have in God. So we have special, aren't you glad that there's, and come here on Sunday. Everybody planning on coming on Sunday and grab a whole bunch of those come with me cards out there and invite your neighbors and everything, right? And the people at the gym or your work or whatever. Let's get people here because we're blessed and God has put people in our body to impart some things to us that are just really special. And we need to anticipate. We need to be praying, amen? Let's don't just come wondering what's going to happen on Sunday. Let's come expecting. Can we do that? And be praying. Let's be praying in the Spirit. Man, and I'm going to speak to some of these things because God's called us to the body for this particular time in history. Aren't you excited about this? I mean, some major things going on. We get to be a part of it. It's like we talked about on Sunday. It's time to get engaged. It's time to be involved. It's time to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? And sometimes in the middle of it, there's a certain excitement that can take place. And we have a guest minister like we had a couple weeks ago. And we have everybody in the place. I love everybody in the place got a word from God, right? Something that's special from God for you. And there's something about that it's not just the event of the moment. When God speaks to us, there's something that needs to follow that I'm going to talk to tonight because there's a side of faithfulness. It's when things don't seem quite as exciting, when the voice isn't loud in your ear anymore and you're actually just doing the process that it requires of us. And so I've got on the app that is working right now, so I'm going to go ahead and go right from this. And we've spoken to this before, this wonderful passage out of Hebrews that connects all the people of faith described in Hebrews 11, connects them to us. And it says, what they went through, all the trials and the difficulties that they went through, and we're going to see a word in there that they were counted faithful. They were counted to what they were supposed to do with an expectancy that it's going to be completed in us. And so there's a truth involved in this. And I've got some bullet points here real quick. When God speaks to, and this is something that is so demonstrated in Genesis with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. When he speaks to, he's actually speaking through. And I think it's a principle that we can take to heart. So many times, well, what did God tell you? Well, God told me this, right? And there needs to be an understanding that God doesn't just see you when he's talking to you. He sees through you. And it's so common. Everybody in Hebrews 11, there was something they received from God. They received a promise, but the fulfillment of that promise wasn't in them. It's in us. So when he was making that promise to them, he was actually speaking it through them. Can you see that? And I think it's something that we need to take to heart too, because there's some we don't just take something for ourselves. We become responsible for it through us. Can you see that? All right, so when God speaks to, he's also speaking through. What does it take for through to be effectively fulfilled? So then now, if it's not just to me now, That means there's a process I'm going to have to be involved in that's going to make sure it gets through me, doesn't get stopped in me somehow. Can you see this? Okay? Faithfulness and obedience to the process is going to be part of that, okay? Man, we see this so much in the Old Testament especially. They walked things out for years. Right? They were just faithful to what God said for years. Okay? And here's some things I want to draw out tonight, though. And what makes this possible is passion for the other players. This is such a... I'm so grateful that I've been born again into a body. I haven't been born into an island. No man is an island. Did you remember that song? That was from the 70s. You don't remember it? I hate to reveal this, but I robbed the cradle when I got... She's way younger than me. I know you can tell already, but anyway. Yeah, that was from the 70s, I think, wasn't it? No man is an island. No man stands alone or something like that. So there's a need for a heart connection to a God declaration. And it's in that heart connection that there's an ability for the endurance to take place. And God's equipped us with this. When you get passion involved with something, it enables a strength that you would not have otherwise. Okay? So we're going to get this from this story, all right? Let's go to Hebrews 11, first of all, because I just want to draw this out again. All these people, Hebrews 11, 39, earned a good reputation. Now, sometimes we get to the end of this, we just go right to that, but I want to look at this. How did they earn a good reputation? That means, what is a reputation? It's not just an event that you did once. How do you get a reputation? You're known for this. This is your MO, right? This is what you do, right? This is the dog father. He didn't just have one dog. Right? He has a reputation for this, right? And he drives around with a graphic representation of that too, right? Because of what? Because of their faith. They got a reputation of it because of their faith. I think one of the translations doesn't say testimony. They obtained a good testimony. What does that mean? Their body, their life became a testimony of their faith, of what they believed. Can you see that? Okay. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. So they still got the good reputation, even though they didn't realize the end of the promise. Because when God speaks to, he's actually speaking through. Okay? For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. Okay, I know we're not hitting perfection tonight, but we're the completion. Remember that was part of the definition of perfect? Was the completion. It would not take place complete until it got to us. Man, we are directly connected to Abraham. You know, we used to sing, I'm Father Abraham and many sons, and choo, 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 and we foot, 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 and all that. But but it's more than that. It's actually God's voice speaking to Abraham, and everything that he was faithful to, we get to participate when we become faithful to that promise ourselves. Remember, we saw, and we have to hear that voice ourselves. We have to take it. It's not just Abraham's voice. It's God speaking to me now, right? But there's going to be something for us to get involved with. And so let's go to Genesis. And I put the whole passage in here. I might not read the whole passage, but I thought this was interesting because... And we talked about how Jacob was, and I'm encouraged in this because each one of us have different personalities, characteristics. It's such a contrast. I'm going to contrast a little bit Jacob versus Isaac. Because Isaac was the wonderful child, right? He could do no wrong. This is Isaac. He's the promised one, right? He did have to submit to be the sacrifice himself. So he's doing some things himself. But man, we're going to look at the contrast between him and Jacob. But this is cool because no matter who we are, no matter what our gender, no matter what our tendencies, there's a commonality in the need for there to be a development of character once we have this encounter with God. And the development of the character that's going to enable the fulfillment of that promise that's through them to us, it becomes through us now, but we have to be faithful to it ourselves. And it's going to be similar even though it's not the same as somebody else. It's not, you don't put it in a box and say, oh, they did this, so now I have to do this. It's going to have the same principles, but it's going to look like us. Isn't that good? So I have this wonderful father. Everybody just loves my father. All over the world, everybody just loves my father. And you know what? I can almost get, honestly, almost got a little bit discouraged. I thought, man, I'm not nearly as good as my father. You know, because they have this. And I thought, you know what, though? God made me me. Amen? And we have to say, but I have the same reason. I have the same God. I have the same one. Amen? I'm going to look a little different, but I do need to submit to the same process. It's going to kind of look a little bit different or whatever, but the process is going to need to be similar. Can we see that? All right, so let's go ahead and read through this. Man, I lost my multi-view lens here, so I'm going to believe for good vision here. Can everybody just reach out? Okay. So I don't know where they're at. They're somewhere at home. So Isaac called for Jacob, blessed him, and said, this is after he, remember, Isaac actually realized that he did the wrong thing, but he said, I can't take back the blessing. You must not marry any of these Canaanite women instead. So anyway, what he does is he tells him, I'm not going to try to read. He says, don't marry any of these. I need you to go back to the same place that I got my wife from. Man, this sounds a little shifty, doesn't it? And I think things have maybe changed a little bit since this, but he didn't want to marry anybody from the locals, right? And Esau actually noticed that happened for him, and so he went and married a cousin from Ishmael, right? But he wanted him to go back, and this was his first directive from his father after, I'm going to do it my way. And he's actually submitting a little bit now, and he's going to do what his father told him to do. But he has this encounter with God, sees the angels going up and down, and actually God begins to speak to him directly. And let's see. Actually, his father gives this same blessing over him. Let me just go to verse 4 here. He says, may God pass on to you and your descendants the blessings he promised to Abraham. See, here's, Isaac's even declaring this, right? This passing through. May you own this land. And this is really interesting. May you own this land where you are now living as a foreigner, for God gave this land to Abraham. Now, did Abraham ever get any of this land? Actually, did Jacob? Isn't this interesting? He said, now may you get this land. And he never did. Because when God's talking to you, he's not just talking to you. He's talking to somebody through you. Remember what happened? I mean, they had a Everybody's starving, a drought, and they all have to go to Egypt for 400 years before they ever end up, and then go to the wilderness for 40 years. And yet he's saying, you are going to occupy this. Isn't that interesting? I think that's interesting. Look at your neighbor and say, I think that's interesting. All right. So Isaac did what? Sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to stay with his uncle Laban, his mother's brother, the son of Bethuel. Don't you like all those words I can't pronounce? yeah, I'm just faking it. All right. So anyway, he's responding to what Isaac, his father, told him to do. And then the dream happens in the next passage here, right? Let's go down to 14. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. Jacob's getting his own word from God, right? And it's changing everything about him. We talked to this last week. This is where God's perfection, we can take it on as us, even though we're messed up Jacobs, right? Now, women look a whole lot better all the time, no matter what. Guys are just gnarly, so when it comes to looks, right? But there's this soft part in us guys, too, that gets touched by the voice of God that begins to change what? The heart. The heart. Ladies, don't amen too loudly, right? And I speak that over. All right. So Jacob's actually getting something spoken to him from the God of Abraham and Isaac. And now he's not just seeing himself as this little lone guy that's going to do what he wants to do and get his own way. Now he's all of a sudden getting a purpose for his life that's bigger than him. It's talking about his descendants. It's talking about people through him. And now his life is having a purpose that's much bigger than it was before. Amen? They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east and to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. Man. What's more, I am with you. And I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Again, did Jacob came back to that land, but he never actually possessed it, did he? So who's he talking to? He's talking to people through him. But in the process of receiving that promise, now his life gets expanded from a solo existence to a big existence, to a multiplication, way beyond who he was before. He's not just this person that's to himself. Now, he's a person that's including other people, okay? For Jacob, I just want to contrast real quick. Remember what happened? Abraham sent his servant to the same place Jacob is going to, right? To get a wife for Isaac. And what happened when that servant showed up at the well? Rebecca came out, right? She's beautiful. It's like Rachel's going to be beautiful too. But Rebecca comes out, and who serves who? Rebecca serves the servant. Is that right? And how long did it take the servant to snatch up Rebecca? Overnight, wasn't it? It was like, we got to get back. The servant is actually Abraham's servant. Is that right? So what happened with Jacob? Jacob was in need of some rehab. He was one of these, are y'all in the entitlement generation or whatever they call it? Is that the Gen Z?
All the entitlement, I'm entitled to this. I think, doesn't Jacob kind of look like one of those, you know, it's like, I'm entitled to this. And everything should serve me, you know. And he needs some rehab. If he's going to actually be a participant in God's plan here, right? He's going to need to change. But I believe it's something that is a principle to be taken from a word from God. What is the purpose of your life now? If you're going to be this, is it just so that you can hold a title? That you can just be, he's going to have his name changed actually, isn't he? He's going to become Israel. And all of his sons are actually going to, they're still tribes of Israel today as a result of that. That's a pretty big deal. But what did it take for him to get to that place in his life? He had to have a transformation from a Gen Zer to a servant. So what happened when he showed up at the well? Rachel comes out. I thought it was kind of interesting. She's actually a shepherd. She's a virgin. She's still young. She's still beautiful and everything else. But she comes out, and what does he do? His heart just does a backflip. And even though he wasn't supposed to roll the stone back from the well, they were supposed to wait until all the herds got there so they could do it all at once. And he said, we can't wait for that. I need to have an encounter with this woman, right? And what does he do? He serves her. Now, he's actually serving her father, but he's wanting to get to know her. And what happens in that exchange? He falls in love, doesn't he? He falls in love with her. He falls in love with her family. Even Laban he falls in love with. He just kisses everybody. And what does he become? He becomes a servant. Now, we talked about last week, he became a worshiper. I believe a worshiper and a servant go hand in hand. Because now, it's not about you anymore. It's about what's coming through you. Can you see? And he was this kind of guy that wanted to get the quick results. He wanted to get the birthright right now, right? He's wanting to get the blessing right now. And now he gets this transformation, and he becomes a part of a servant process that he's willing to lay down 14 years of his life. And he said it only seemed like days. Why? Because he had a heart change. He became passionate about actually people, didn't he? It wasn't. Well, let me keep going here, okay? Let's look at Genesis 29:10. And because Rachel was his cousin, the daughter, and again, this kind of sounds weird, but, you know, anyway. The daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and because the sheep and the goats belonged to his uncle Laban, Jacob went over to the well and moved the stone from its mouth and watered his uncle's flock. He was transformed with a vision now of serving. I don't know. He might, well, I won't use any names, but he might have been kind of in this class of people that want to lead, having never actually worked a job in their life. Again, I'm not saying any names, but, you know, I kind of imagine him like that. He didn't go out and hunt. He was just shifty. And all of a sudden he turned into this person that was very much like, what did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come to get served. I came to serve. That's so much a part of the big picture of what God's wanting to need to have happen. You know, Pastor Kim was talking, I think you guys prayed about this today, about unity in our country. Why is there a necessity for unity? Because you don't get anything done by yourself. You get it done together. Amen? And that's what God has called us to do. And to become in faith with him is to become in faith with faithfulness to a process that he gives us to do. Amen?
So he meets Laban, 14th verse there. You really are my own flesh and blood. And Jacob had stayed with Laban for about a month. And Laban said to him, you shouldn't work for me without pay just because we are relatives.
This indicates that Jacob was up before dawn, out working for his wannabe father-in-law. Right? Day and night, he's working. And Laban says, man, you're making me really feel bad. I'm not paying you anything. And you just have such a servant's heart. You just can't help but serve me. You love me so much that you're just serving me just because you love me. Are you seeing between the lines as much as I'm seeing between the lines? Right? That's going on. This is a transformation in Jacob, isn't it? But it's a necessary part of a character transformation that's going to enable him to have a name change into Israel. Amen? You shouldn't work for me. And so what does he do? Comes up with a plan. Now let's go down to Genesis 29. So he had two daughters. Remember what happened? Rachel's the beautiful one that made his heart do backflips, that he worked for 7 years and wakes up the next morning and it's Leah instead of, and Leah's the one that kind of, she might have been cross-eyed, I don't know, but she didn't make his heart do anything but just kind of sat there. And it's sad, isn't it kind of sad? But there's something I saw in this is, you know what? Everybody that we're called to influence isn't going to make our heart do backflips, and yet they're smack dab in the middle of a purpose that is very significant that you can't make, you can't diminish in the least. Because you know what happened with Leah? She was much more productive in the plan. And what I saw also is that Jacob didn't just ignore her. He remained faithful to her, even though his heart wasn't doing backflips. He cared for her. He obviously gave her more children to bear, right? And in the process, she provided 10 out of the 12, right? That would be the fulfillment of his promise that he was given. Is that right? So what I saw in him is there was such a servant heart that it included this woman that he had not asked for. He felt cheated in getting her. And isn't that sad? And she was so faithful on her side also, right? But his heart was including her in this bigger picture. Amen? I thought this is an inspiring thing because being a servant doesn't just choose the ones you want to serve. It includes everybody. And sometimes those that you aren't as excited about serving will be the ones that are the most productive if you'll include them. Amen? All right. So there's varying degrees of passion, and it doesn't determine the necessity for or the ORI from. Can you see that? Because there's going to be a return on that investment sometimes because your heart has been changed from a servant that includes everybody. Amen? And it makes you a part of this faithfulness. So how many are grateful for the faithfulness of God? I mean, we have songs about it. Great is thy faithfulness. Did you know that some of us are more attractive maybe naturally in our charisma? We are, aren't we? There's some people that are just more. I'm grateful that God in his faithfulness includes us all. Does that make sense? He includes us all. Not just the ones that have the greater personality. Some people are introverts. Some people are not as attractive physically. You would think, well, God can't really use them. And that might be me that I'm talking about, right? God can't use me. No. God, in his faithfulness, maybe will get the greatest production from the ones that we think the least of. Amen? And that will include us if we will become active in our faithfulness. Amen? All right. Let me keep going down here. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's go down to, I'm just going to read this about Leah again, the 34th verse. Then she became pregnant a third time and gave birth to another son. He was named Levi. Remember what happened? God saw that she was not being cared for. God saw. God cares about these kinds of things. He sees what we're doing, doesn't he? And he's going to produce in a way that it was obviously him that made it happen. Amen? A lot of times we think, we figure it out based upon what looks the best and what we can come up with the best, right? And he says, no, I work with faithfulness. Did you know who was the most faithful to Jacob? It wasn't Rachel. It was Leah. She was the most faithful to him. All right. I'm just going to read the last one here. Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son. She named him Judah, for she said, now I will praise the Lord. And then she stopped having children for a little while. She'd come back and have some more, right? But this is this chapter, and we're not going to go beyond this chapter right now, okay? All right. All right, I want to go to Romans real quick because I think we can take to heart this, because this is what we've been called to. What was Jacob's occupation when he was fulfilling Isaac's command to him? He became faithful to something. He wasn't commanded to become a servant, but in the response to a God declaration and his father's declaration, he had a heart transformation that turned him into the person that could be the completion of the promise, not just to them, but through him. Amen? All right. And this is what we're called to in the body. You know, it's not just enough to have faith in God. You can't have faith in God without being faithful to his body. And it's in the faithfulness to his body that you actually get your joy. That you get your endurance, actually. What enabled Jacob to be able to endure 14 years? It was his passion for the people, wasn't it? I believe that was a big part of it. Because he said, it only seemed like days. What only seemed like days? A whole bunch of work, a whole bunch of stuff that he could have disdained. He could have had a why me? Why couldn't I just be like Isaac? Why couldn't I just come down here and snatch up my bride and go back? No, it was a much different thing, and it changed his character. It took 14 years of this to actually change his character. Now, I know we got the stories about the stripes and all those kinds of things that go along that are part of faith, but you know what? This was developed in him. I just see this as such an inspiring thing for us to not just get a word from God, but we get a word from God, and now we're on a mission to develop the character that will surround that mission with the ability to fulfill it. Amen? Sometimes we can feel like just because we got from something from God, it sets us apart from the rubber meets the road. But for all of us, there's a faithfulness to the process, to the servant heart, amen, that will cause us to be strong and enduring and able to put up with anything. We're not going to be daunted by anything that seems to be overwhelming. Amen?
All right, let me read this out of Romans 12, 9. Don't just pretend to love each others. Have you ever pretended to love someone? Sundays are a very wonderful time to pretend like you're loving everybody, right? You're supposed to. We all show up and we put, that can happen. But not when we get a word from God and not when we really get a heart for people. Amen. I'm so glad I have this one that my heart can be doing flip-flops over, but it includes our whole body. And you know, the closer you get to God, the more you're not just going to put up with people. You're going to have a passion for them, even though they may annoy you to some extent, right? You're going to have a passion for them that's going to allow you to serve them. It's actually going to give you the energy and the endurance to serve them. Amen? All right. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Now, we don't do this here. You know, my sister went and served in Italy, and they kiss each other all the time. They even air kiss. I don't know why. Why would you just kiss the air on each other's? You know, they go both sides. They just want like something happened. Nothing happened. You just, it's just like people air guitaring, you know. It's nothing happened, okay. But there, so I'm kind of glad we don't have to, like, you know, smooch and stuff like that. Well, I'm glad some of us can, but I'm getting deeper, right? But there should be some affection. There should be some genuine affection. Amen? I don't know. We might have to just kiss hands or something. I don't know. But there needs to be a heart connection. Can you see that? I think God has for us to actually desire to see people and actually be genuinely happy when we see each other. Amen? And we can give hugs, you know? You give the good old side hug to the ladies and, you know, the frontal, whatever, to the guys. But there needs to be this, because there's a need for endurance in what we're going to need to do to serve each other. Amen? It's going to be in prayer, but there's going to be things we need to do. We need to really care about each other. And we've been given that in God. Amen? Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. I'm sorry. Is that describing anybody you know, or is that convicting you at the moment? And don't think you know it all. I'm sorry. It's funny. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So how does this happen? Not just because we read Romans. It happens because we heard from God. Amen? And this is the character development that takes an experience of God and puts it into a daily practice.
that becomes a change of who you are from a Gen Zer to a servant. Amen? We're supposed to be servants, not just following commands. This is from the heart. Amen? I've got one more here for you, Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Who's he talking about? Timothy, right? What's Timothy done? He's developed an MO. He's developed a reputation. He's developed faithfulness that's observed, that you can depend upon it. He said, I can send Timothy because he's proven himself to be that way. You cannot be faithful and have it not be noticed, right? And you cannot be faithful and not be positioned to be used. Amen? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. He's talking about other people, right? Not Timothy. But you know that his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. I thought this was a wonderful description of somebody that's been faithful. Amen? And this is one thing that I would just say about my experience as being a pastor's son. This is one of the things that I could say, you know, when you're ever wondering if anybody's doing it right, I know somebody. I know my dad. I've experienced it. I've worked with him. When nobody's around, when there's faithfulness. Amen? And it's very important that I don't just observe it, but that I become it. Amen? Father, we thank you.